gospel today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, nothing came into being. What came into being was life, and the life was the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came to be a witness, testify to the light, so that all might come to believe in through him. He himself was not the light. He came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. And everything came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to those who were his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to those who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son. John testified to him when he cried out, "This is he, the one who I said, one who comes after me is ranked ahead of me because he was before." In his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. But it is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made God known to us. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Praise to God. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite the children to gather up and head on out and follow Nijuk for a word for the children. You're going to hear a story from the Spark Bible and also, oh, there they go over there. Come on. There, yeah, you can swim around the back there. Very good. Excellent. Oh, they're back there now. Yeah, you're home. Right out there, another big seat. There you go. We found them. Excellent. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you ever wondered how something actually is created? I mean, when you think about the big things, how are they created? I was, during the Christmas break, or right before Christmas, was driving downtown, headed to a Christmas concert, Atari concert, and swung by the Bow Building. And out front is that marvelous sculpture. I think they called it, I want to call it the head, but it's one, the wonder or something. But it was designed by a guy named, let me get his name right, Palma Plensa, and he's from Portugal. And that thing that's out there, that sculpture, which is pretty amazing if you've ever looked at it close and resisted the temptation to climb on it. Oh, it would be so much fun. But it began with an idea or a vision in Halma's head. Only it could have stopped there. We've all had ideas. I've had wonderful ideas. And a lot of them, they just stay that way. But at some point, he told himself And he told others that he wanted to build them. He wanted to create it. He gave his word to them. And because he gave his word, other people were inspired. I don't know the whole process, but I'm sure he wrote up a proposal and got the folks that were in charge of putting some sculpture or thing there in front of the bow. But because he spoke a word of saying, this shall be, that sculpture is now. What began as an idea and a word became something real. So also the Eiffel Tower in Paris. A guy named Gustave Eiffel had a vision. He said, this shall be. And by speaking that vision and enrolling other people into it, now it's one of the most recognizable landmarks in the world. Today's gospel talks about somebody, or actually not somebody, talks about God having an idea and speaking creation into existence. It says right there, in the beginning was the Word. God spoke a word, and through that word, creation came about. Through that word, plants and animals, everything, the planets, everything came into creation. God spoke a word, and we have the universe, and we have our earth. But God didn't stop speaking. In the Hebrew scriptures, we know of the word that God spoke there on Mount Sinai to Moses, to God's people. We call it the Ten Commandments. What, in essence, that word was a word for justice and a word for relationship. Because God spoke that word, a people of God was created. And they came to know themselves as the people of God, and they lived that way. And in that inheritance comes another word that God spoke. This is a word of unconditional love, a word of grace and truth. God spoke a word, and it became flesh and lived among us. We call that word Jesus Christ. You might say that God, in God's infinite wisdom, was sitting back, what shall I that idea God gave God's word to the universe. Also, God gave God's word to us. Because God is truth and righteousness and integrity is the ultimate reality. When God speaks a word, it happens. What about us? It's New Year's. We celebrated New Year's a couple days ago, so we're on the cusp of the beginning of 2016. And anybody make any New Year's resolutions? No one? Okay, good. When? But you know the routine. It's almost like a ritual. And how does it usually go? It's New Year's. Oh, we ought to make a resolution. What do I want to change about my life? Okay, I want to eat better, exercise more, lose weight, stay in contact with my friends. That's probably 90% of the stuff, right? I want to give a different possibility for New Year's resolutions. Or actually a context, maybe, for your New Year's resolutions. Just as God gave a word, lived it out. What would you give your word to this year? And even bigger, what would you give your life to? What is calling to you to say, this is who I want to be in the world? What would you give your word to that then becomes a context, a way that you understand your life unfolding and that you continually work toward and live into. It's all really abstract, but some of you have done this. Those of you that are married, you had a wedding of some sort before. before the wedding you weren't married, after the wedding you were, right? What happened? In that wedding ceremony, you claimed the relationship that you had, somebody that you loved, someone that you recognized, you know, that you wanted to spend your time with, and you claimed it, and then you created. What you created was a partnership for the future. And you gave your word to that. We call it the vows, the wedding promises. In that speaking, you gave your word, and it created a future. It created a context for your wife, for your life. That other one could work too, couldn't it? But from then on, instead of being someone who was single, who enjoyed being next to this person, all of a sudden it became a life together. And it gave a different kind of context. And to the degree to which both parties lived out those promises with integrity, then that's the degree to which that vision, that hope, that word became real. So some of you have done it in marriage. Some of you I know are nurses or doctors. A way of understanding what you've done is you've given your word to healing. You've given your life to healing. So within that context, then that is one of the things that you are up to. Lawyers. Lawyers, I mean, I think at the heart of it, they've given their word to justice. Certainly judges have. Artists have given their word to beauty. Is it that calls to you? The world is full of things, full of possibilities, things are just waiting, that God is waiting for you to claim and to create. Now, there is a challenge with this, because there are people that have given their word to some things that are very destructive. People who have given their word just to make money no matter what, we call that greed, right? That can be very destructive. There have been people in history that have given their word to unlimited power and oppression. And with their words, they've created horrible things to actually destroy. As you inquire into what you can give your word to and your life to, as Christians, we look back to God. What God gave God's word to was love, grace, and truth. As Jesus, as the Word walked around, also walked around on earth, when asked what the greatest commandment was love God and love one another. These provide good checks for us as we go about creating, what am I going to be up to? I'm going to make myself as strong as possible. Okay, how does that love others? How does that give honor to God? That's part of the inquiry. When we give our word to something that produces life, that makes love abound for others, that benefits the world, there's a good chance that is God's nudging us toward that. And when you give your word, when you throw your hat over the wall, things become possible that weren't possible otherwise. Until you give your word to something, you're very, very limited on what you can create. And there are some things that if you give your word to them, you'll never be done creating them. And you feel called to create a world full of peace. Will you ever be done? No. But in striving to so the world becomes more peaceful. Maybe you feel called to give your word to that nobody should go hungry. Will you ever be done? No. But as you live your world, your life in that context, more and more people may have access to food. This is the inquiry. And I would resist calling it a New Year's resolution, because this is not the kind of thing that you can do in just a year. It is a context for your life, but as you get clear on that, then it becomes clear what you need to do right now. What are the little steps, the little things you can resolve or give your word to that help you fulfill on that which God is calling you to? There's something about words, too. It helps if you speak them. If you're going to be about solving world hunger and you never tell anybody, nobody knows that that's what you're up to. They can't help you then. There's power in saying it out loud in the presence of others so that they can hear, so that they can affirm, so that they can support, and also so you can hear yourself giving your word. In the gospel, it talks about, let's see, the word became flesh and lived among us. It's the NRSV translation. Eugene Peterson has a very wonderful translation called The Message. And the way he translates that is God moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that great? God moved into the neighborhood. Well, God moved into the neighborhood of Southwood also. 50 plus years ago, someone spoke and said, there shall be a church here, a congregation of people committed to fulfilling on God's word and God's mission. God moved into the neighborhood. Right now, as we begin this new year, the council is in the process of trying to figure out what is the word or words that describe what God is calling us to do in this neighborhood. What is it that this congregation, what can we claim about who we are as God's people that also helps us create what God wants to do for us and for our neighbors around us? It's the same. It's like God moving into the neighborhood. We are Christ's hands and feet. I share that with you. Some of you were part of that listening thing we did the first Sunday in Advent. There will be more of those kind of opportunities to share stories about how we see God at work and to dream and try to envision and claim what God wants us to do next, or how we can join God in what God is already doing. Because when God moves into the neighborhood, amazing things happen. When Jesus, the Word made flesh, walked around, people's eyes were opened. People who were lame could walk. Folks who were blind could see. The hungry got food. Those that nobody gave any mind to all of a sudden knew that they were seen by God and that they were included in God's kingdom, in God's community. When God moves into the neighborhood, God gives God's word.